Thứ ba của chúng ta cũng làm việc khẩn trương và thành công tốt đẹp.
The victories of our compatriots in the South prove that the U.S. imperialists, no matter how many modern weapons that they may possess, are not to be feared. And that a nation closely united and fighting persistently is the fully capable of defeating them. I propose that the National Assembly warmly acclaim the heroic Southern compatriots and the valiant South Vietnamese fighters. U.S. President Johnson has talked a lot about peace and freedom. I ask you, is it for peace that U.S. troops, U.S. bloodhound, U.S. bombs and bullets, and U.S. poison have been sent to South Vietnam? Is it for freedom that the United States have sabotaging the Geneva Agreement? It's a follow of Vietnam's internal affairs as preparing the troubles in an attempt to prolong the partition of Vietnam. Your aggressive policy is at variance with the justice, humanity, and the American Constitution. Answer these questions before the Vietnamese people, the American people, and the world people. The threat made by the U.S. imperialists only arouses sour indignation among our people in North Vietnam and makes them heightened sour their vigilance and stand ready to smash all the extra provocation to defend the fatherland. The U.S. aggressors must be aware that they have no other way than stopping the dirty war in South Vietnam. They must correctly implement the Geneva Agreement, withdraw all U.S. troops and weapons from South Vietnam, and let the South Vietnamese people settle their own affairs themselves. This is a far solution which does not make the U.S. lose hope.
Here's for historic interest, one thing the American people were not being told before the Tonkin Gulf incidents occurred, of course, was the activities against the Republic of North Vietnam by South Vietnamese commandos with U.S. assistance. Our Radio Peking was telling people about it, and here's a recording made on the 5th of July, 1964, about that topic.
The People's Armed Forces in North Vietnam had captured another group of commandos of the U.S. imperialists and their henchmen in South Vietnam. The commandos sneaked into the coastal area of Dong Quynh Province in northern Vietnam to carry out sabotage and were captured on June 30th. This was reported by the Vietnamese news agency on Thursday. The People's Armed Forces seized a large quantity of weapons and equipment for sabotage activities during U.S. marching. This was the 15th commando group sent into North Vietnam since June last year by the U.S. imperialists and their lackeys in South Vietnam. That is the end of the news.
You are listening to Radio Peking.
Following is a somewhat prophetic report from Radio Peking on the 1st of August, 1964, one day before the first Tonkin Gulf incident took place.
Now, here's the news. A spokesman of the Foreign Minister of the Vietnam Democratic Republic has issued a statement on the latest U.S. move to stop the aggressive war in South Vietnam and extend the war to the North. The statement, issued on July 31st, said that according to Saigon and foreign sources, the U.S. government has decided to take a series of measures to intensify its aggressive war in South Vietnam and its provocation against the Vietnam Democratic Republic. The statement said that the South Vietnamese people have a tradition of heroic and indomitable struggle, and had the powerful support of the entire socialist camp, the National Liberation Movement, and the peace and justice-loving people all over the world. They will certainly smash the new plan of the U.S. imperialists and their henchmen to intensify their aggressive war in South Vietnam and carry on the cause of liberating South Vietnam to glorious success. The statement concluded by saying that the arch culprit who has engineered and arranged for the implementation of a plan of provocation and sabotage against the Vietnam Democratic Republic is none other than U.S. imperialism. The statement added, the U.S. government must bear full responsibility for the present extremely dangerous situation in South Vietnam, as well as for all the actions of extending the war and encroaching upon the security of the Vietnam Democratic Republic. The Vietnam Democratic Republic government has repeatedly warned that should the U.S. aggressors and their henchmen dare to encroach on the North, the entire Vietnamese people from North to South, united as one, will stand up and wipe them out, smash all their aggressive rules against the North, and defeat them in the whole of the country.
This is the voice of Vietnam. This is the voice of Vietnam, broadcasting from Hanoi, capital of the Democratic Republic of Vietnam. Our English programs are on the air each day at 4:30, 10, 13:30, and 15:30 hours, Chinese time, on 11.840, 9.840 and 1.3 megacycles in the 25, 31, and 250 meter band.
On August the 2nd off North Vietnam's coast. Meanwhile, the U.S. State Department spokesman bluntly denied the denunciations made by the High Command of the Vietnam People's Army concerning the shelling by U.S. warships of islands in the territorial waters of the Democratic Republic of Vietnam and the bombing by Laos-based U.S. aircraft of localities on North Vietnam territory near the Vietnam-Laos border. In this connection, the spokesman for the Vietnam People's Army High Command declares as follows. Public opinion in Vietnam and in the world knows very well that in carrying out the policy of aggression and provocation in South Vietnam, as well as in Cambodia and Laos, the U.S. imperialists have not only used their 7th fleet in the Pacific for shows of force in the open sea from the Eastern Sea to the Gulf of Thailand, but have also used the warships of the fleet to cover the forces of the henchmen in South Vietnam in their provocative activities against the Democratic Republic of Vietnam. In recent days, to try and stave off the setback and impact in South Vietnam, along with the battle of our forces and stepping up the aggressive war in South Vietnam, the U.S. imperialists and their henchmen have not only ranted about expanding the war to the north, but also frantically conducted provocative and sabotage activities against the Democratic Republic of Vietnam.
In brief, another attempt
attack, two North Vietnamese torpedo boats sunk, two damaged, no damage to the American destroyers involved, no casualties among American personnel.
That was a background report by NBC prepared before President Johnson's address to the nation on the Southeast Asia crisis.
Communist North Vietnamese torpedo boats were able to attack a U.S. destroyer because America's 7th Fleet sails under the shadow of Asia's hottest trouble spots. The destroyer Maddox was fired upon first on August 2nd by three Russian-built attack boats in the Gulf of Tonkin, which is virtually a communist lake. The Gulf opens off the South China Sea and is enclosed on three sides by North Vietnam, Communist China, and the Red Chinese Island of Hainan, an important Peking naval base. When the White House received news of the first attack, President Johnson ordered U.S. patrols in the sea area increased and told them to destroy any future marauders. The order was nothing new to the 7th Fleet, which has been patrolling the Western Pacific since World War II. The fleet long ago received its Cold War baptism. In 1954, the Chinese communists placed nationalist China's Cochin Islands under heavy bombardment. The 7th Fleet sailed in and evacuated 18,000 civilians and 20,000 military men from the islands 120 miles northwest of Taiwan, while fighter bombers from the aircraft carrier Yorktown flew escort missions. 4 years later, the 7th Fleet deployed 140 warships, including seven carriers, into direct defense of Taiwan during the communist artillery barrage against Kamui and escorted nationalist supply ships to the besieged offshore islands. U.S. officers said the Kamui-Taiwan Armada constituted the greatest concentration of naval firepower ever assembled in the history of the world. Patrolling the shores of communist Asia, the 7th Fleet can sail into the very jaws of danger by maneuvering in such waters as the Gulf of Tonkin. But American vessels remain in international waters. 7th Fleet patrols are responsible for maintaining American defenses over a fantastic 30 million square miles, almost one-fifth the surface of the globe. Its 125 ships and 650 airplanes range over oceans and seas from the Bering Sea to Antarctica and from just west of the Hawaiian Islands to the Indian Ocean. The fleet includes about three attack carriers, some 30 destroyers, and 7 to 8 submarines, one of them nuclear-powered. The fleet can operate at sea for months, drawing its fuel, ammunition, food, and other supplies from support vessels. Serving with the 7th Fleet are 64,000 Navy and Marine officers and men. One Marine Battalion landing team always is afloat with the fleet, ready to land on any troubled shore if so ordered by Washington. America's top military commanders in the Pacific were on a round-the-clock alert today as they followed developments in U.S. airstrikes against North Vietnamese torpedo boat bases. Admiral U.S. Grant Sharp, Commander-in-Chief of U.S. forces in the Pacific, was spending the night, much as he had the day, in conference with his staff officers. He was constantly in and out of his top-secret map room command center at Camp Smith, located on the slope overlooking Pearl Harbor. It was in that same map room that Secretary of State Rush, Defense Secretary McNamara, Sharp, and former Commander-in-Chief of Pacific Forces Admiral Harry Felt met in early June to plan American strategy in South Vietnam. Sharp is in constant touch with his field commanders and with Washington. Farther down the hill, Admiral Thomas Moore, Commander-in-Chief of the Pacific Fleet, was still on duty late today, as he had been for the last 3 days. An aide said Moore may have gone home briefly yesterday evening, but he's been back here since late last night. He's sitting right up in the war room, our operations plot room now. Moore and Sharp are in constant communication via a direct telephone line. Sharp's spokesman said, "We don't have any more to say now that what you've heard from the President and the Defense Secretary. We think we're going to have to wait and see how this thing develops." This has been a special 25-minute background report on the crisis in Southeast Asia. Stay tuned to the Far East Network for developments as they occur.
Good evening. This is Air Force Sergeant Tom Korzenowski with a special 20-minute edition of Late Report, extended tonight in order to more fully recap the day's events on the Vietnam crisis. News is compiled from the wires of UPI, AP, and the Military News Agency. President Johnson announced today that air action is in execution against gunboats in North Vietnam, which attacked United States destroyers in the Gulf of Tonkin. And Secretary of Defense McNamara said they are continuing. President Johnson went before the American people and the world this afternoon to dramatically announce the military retaliation for last night's repetition of Sunday's attack on an American warship in international waters. Here is how the president phrased the announcement.
My fellow Americans, as president and commander-in-chief, it is my duty to the American people to report of renewed hostile actions against United States ships on the high seas in the Gulf of Tonkin have today required me to order the military forces of the United States to take action in return. The initial attack on the Victoria Maddox on August 2nd was repeated today while a number of hostile vessels attacking two U.S. destroyers were torpedoed. The destroyers and supporting aircraft acted at once on the orders I gave after the initial act of aggression. We believe at least two of the attacking boats were sunk. There were no U.S. losses. The performance of commanders and crews in this engagement is in the highest tradition of the United States Navy. But repeated acts of the violence against our armed forces of the United States must be barred, not only with the late defense, but with powerful reply. That reply is being given as I speak to you tonight. Our action is now in execution against gunboats and certain supporting facilities in North Vietnam, which have been used in these hostile operations. In the larger sense, this new act of aggression aimed directly at our own forces again brings home to all of us in the United States the importance of the struggle for peace and security in Southeast Asia. Aggression by terror against the peaceful villages of South Vietnam has now been joined by open aggression on the high seas against the United States of America. The determination of all Americans to carry out our full commitment to the people and to the government of South Vietnam will be redoubled by this outrage. Yet our response for the present will be limited and fitting. We Americans know, although others appear to forget, the risk of spreading conflict. We still seek no rival war. I have instructed the Secretary of State to make his position totally clear to friends and to adversaries, and indeed to all. I have instructed Ambassador Stevenson to raise this matter immediately and urgently before the Security Council of the United Nations. Finally, I have today met with the leaders of both parties in the Congress of the United States. And I have informed them that I shall immediately request the Congress to pass a resolution making it clear that our government is united in its determination to take all necessary measures in support of freedom and in defense of peace in Southeast Asia. I have been given encouraging assurance by these leaders of both parties that such a resolution will be promptly introduced. How expeditiously debated and passed with overwhelming support. And just a few months ago, I was able to ask Senator Goldwater, and I'm glad to say that he has expressed his support of the statement that I'm making to you tonight. It is a solemn responsibility to have to order even limited military action by forces whose overall strength is as vast and as awesome as those of the United States of America. But it is my considered conviction, shared through actual government, that firmness in the right is indispensable today for peace. That firmness will always be measured. Its mission is peace.
President Johnson announcing American military retaliation against unprovoked North Vietnamese PT boat attacks on American destroyers. In a Pentagon News conference following up President Johnson's nationwide address, McNamara also disclosed that a military buildup is underway in Southeast Asia. McNamara declined to say where the airstrikes by carrier-based United States planes are being made. In answer to a question, he said, "We are not attacking Hanoi, but only Red Patrol craft and the bases which support them." McNamara said, in view of the unprovoked and deliberate attack in international waters upon United States naval vessels, the United States has taken the precaution of moving substantial military reinforcements to Southeast Asia. He added, it is also making replacement deployments to the Western Pacific from the continental United States. Advance Chief said in a formal statement read to newsmen, "I can tell you some of the action that has already been undertaken. United States naval aircraft on the carrier Ticonderoga and Constellation in the Bay of Tonkin, where our destroyers have undergone two deliberate attacks by the North Vietnamese, have already initiated airstrikes against the bases from which these PT boats have operated. Our naval aircraft have conducted strikes against certain other targets directly supporting the operation of the PT boats." McNamara said it would be unwise for him to give additional details at the time because the air attacks were still underway. American authorities believe the next few days will be of critical importance as Communist China tries to decide what to do about limited U.S. military action against neighboring North Vietnam. U.S. officials and congressmen hope that Beijing is aware that the United States means business in pledging it will defend the security of Southeast Asia as well as American ships on the high seas. They acknowledge it is difficult to estimate what Communist China's leaders may do. Beijing has let it be known to the West that Southeast Asia is not a narrow peninsula like Korea, and that she could deploy 1 million men if necessary in a sweep over Thailand, Vietnam, and Laos. American sources doubt that China's military machine, vast as it is in manpower, would be able to mount any sustained campaign. President Johnson's decision to punish Communist North Vietnam for its attacks on American destroyers today placed the United States in its greatest crisis in Asia since Red China threatened to attack Taiwan in 1958. The official North Vietnam news agency said this is a sure fabrication by the U.S. imperialists aimed at covering their illegal acts, which brazenly violated the security of the Democratic Republic of Vietnam and are aggravating further the situation in Southeast Asia. In South Vietnam, hard-pressed by a rebellion engineered from the Communist North, a spokesman for Premier Nguyen Khan applauded the decision. He said the Prime Minister fully approves of the American action.
The official Soviet news agency TASS repeated North Vietnam's claim that the naval clash off Vietnam last night was a sheer fabrication of the American imperialists. In the first indirect Kremlin comment on the Gulf of Tonkin crisis, TASS quoted the North Vietnamese news agency in Hanoi. TASS added no comment of its own to its English-language dispatch. Radio Moscow, meanwhile, was broadcasting prominently, but without comment, a report from Washington on the statements by the Defense Department and President Johnson. The report was carried with slight variations in different broadcasts to the Russian people.